I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, my darlings. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Wayne Rooney is back in town. Jadon Sancho has been impressing, and Wales could get promoted. Hello, everybody. As you can see, my voice is nearly there. It's about 95% back.
Yeah. That was a quick recovery.
Oh, yes.
Have you had injections?
I've had an enormous amount of injections and plastic surgery.
On your throat?
Oh, yes. They now call me The Voice. It's not Tom Jones's anymore.
What about those of us, listeners included, who enjoyed your voice as it was at the start of the week?
I had no control over it, to be fair. I had
Get
somebody...
the sandpaper down there. Get gargling with the glass.
I had a few people tweet me very nice things. A chap told me that my voice gave him an erection. And another man said that my voice was perfect for... he was in somewhere in South Africa. He looked like he was on a hunt.
Yeah.
Or he was being hunted.
Yeah.
Preferably the
latter.
The latter, yeah. For Jurassic Park purposes, of course. Yeah. So thank you very much for that, everybody.
Appreciate I've got a few
I can,
here,
I
actually.
I can hear a little bit of the croak coming back in, actually.
Well, fade it back.
A bit of dish.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a few here, actually.
Oh, go on.
You beardy twat. you Sean Dyche wannabe earthworm munching bellend.
Hang on, beardy twat.
I just made that one up. Yeah, I made them both.
I thought you were talking about yourself, although
no,
you've
no,
recently
you, about you.
Yeah, that's
you've got a little beard on going on.
I just haven't shaved for a bit.
Beardo.
But that's what a beard is.
Well, I don't know.
No.
This is a bridge between that.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Sometimes a beard is a choice. Sometimes it's a symptom of neglect, isn't it?
When you do a wet shave, how long is it before stubble starts to appear? 2 hours?
Imagine you use a chainsaw as well with a thick of your...
You get a 5 o'clock shadow, right? So if you shave in the morning, by the evening, you got the 5 o'clock shadow.
Are we still sponsored by Harry's Razors? All right then, gang.
USA! 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 Eagles saw... I'm going there tomorrow.
4 more years.
Yeah.
For Wayne Rooney.
No. Let's not do that.
Let's do this. Let's do this, Donaldson. I want to hear your take on this.
What?
Tonight... England play USA. Mm. Wayne Rooney scores a hat-trick.
You're back.
Gareth Southgate. What are you doing? It's like a choose your own adventure. Choose your own Rue venture.
Well, he's kind of...
Rue's your own adventure.
Can I say that the BBC, there's an article, they did an article about how other countries, or a few other countries, and prominent ones in the world of football, did a send-off for prominent players of theirs. So the Dutch, for Wesley Sneijder, he played 62 minutes over a win against Peru.
Friendly?
Peru. Yeah, exactly.
Not in the World Cup.
Before, he was given a spot on a sofa with his wife and two children.
Oh, I saw this.
Next to the pitch to watch pre-recorded messages from former teammates and managers, and the crowd held aloft banners and so on and so forth. So that was quite strange. The sofa business was quite strange. We remember Lukas Podolski, who scored a peach against England on his final match for Germany. Thierry Henry, though, it was rumoured that he was going to be given a cap 5 years, I think, after he'd retired from international football. And then manager at the time...
this is all just one big boys club, isn't it?
Well, Rama Domenech put a stop to it.
Yeah, wrong star sign.
Yeah.
No, he said, a Scorpio, we can't have it.
He said, playing for the national team should not be a gift.
I think he's right. For one, and this is the thing, this is what's causing me problems now, because I'm actually agreeing with Rama Domenech.
Well, David Silva's going to be given one last cap for Spain. On Sunday, apparently.
So David Silva is still playing at the very top level for one of the best club sides in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know the circumstances around his international career, whether he's agreed to retire or not. So I'll park
that. He is. So I know what you're saying about...
He's not coming back after a year.
No, but he's operating at a higher level, yes, but they know it's his last cap. So it's essentially the same as Rooney. Mm.
No, because Rooney's doing it again after a year.
Okay, I see what you mean.
So here's my take on it broadly, in broad terms. Maybe you guys can just tell me how much of a bellend I am. That's what happened on TalkSport last week, so don't worry about it. Yeah.
We do tell you that all the time.
Yeah, though. I know, yeah. You guys were the originals.
That text could have been for anyone.
No, it did specifically say Luke Aaron Moore. I had my address and everything. It was definitely for me. I think all the tributes around players in this way are fine and are to be applauded and to be respected, particularly someone like Wayne Rooney, record scorer for one of the big traditional big countries in the world.
I can hear a big buck coming on the horizon.
One of the big ones. But they shouldn't go anywhere near the pitch for an official game. If Wayne Rooney wants to do a soccer aid type game to raise money for his foundation, if he wants to go and do a testimonial game, all that stuff, if he wants to be paraded before the game, if he wants to be paraded at halftime, everything to do with that. I don't care. He can do that. And I think he should do that. And I think it would be the right thing to do. I don't think, and I'm not blaming Wayne personally for this necessarily, but I don't think he should be involved in an official friendly where people are going to be capped. Is Jadon Sancho going to look back, although he's enjoyed the week of training with Rooney, he's probably learnt a lot from him. Is he going to be happy, really, saying, my first start for England was essentially in a Wayne Rooney Foundation sideshow game? I don't know if that's right.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily actually matters about, you know, what Jadon Sancho thinks of his first cap or whatnot. But I think part of the reason there's such a sort of furore over this, and I do agree with you, I don't think that you know, this sort of tribute should take place on the pitch, because I agree with what everyone says about it devaluing it. But I think the problem is, this is exactly the sort of thing we wanted to get away from. Exactly the sort of kind of nonsense, kind of talismanic.
So you think it holds the momentum that Southgate's got some momentum with this young team?
I wouldn't say that it's necessarily going to do that, because it's just a one-off. But what Wayne Rooney is emblematic of, and this is not his fault because he became England's top scorer in this time, is one of the worst periods of supporting England in a long, long time.
And easy to forget that now, isn't
absolutely
it?
Absolutely. And England was scarred by that. Like, we've just got over that. And I think part of the reason this is stuck in people's craws so much is that it immediately looks back to that, when actually we should be looking to the future. And this just slows that down. You know, it becomes a sideshow that is like the old England. And all of this nonsense is the stuff that you need to get rid of. And
what if I get sent off?
I imagine.
Feel like Zidane still banned from international football.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think that this probably wasn't Gareth Southgate's decision, and that he's claiming it is just because he's being the company man.
It was originally going to be done against Nigeria before the World Cup, I think, and it got postponed. I believe that's
the case. Can you imagine that? A pre-World Cup match?
I think that's why.
But this is what I mean, though. This smacks of that being the FA. Gareth Southgate would not have that in a million years. No manager going into a competitive tournament would want that.
Is it not just one bit? Again, it's just kind of to bolster the people who are going to turn up to watch that football match.
The FA have sort of... I mean, the FA took some PR batterings last week because they announced that I think the £800,000 that the FA will earn from this game, none of it's actually being passed on to the Wayne Rooney Foundation.
Really?
No, there's going to be buckets outside.
The guys are Richard Scudamore.
Who knows? They're raising awareness and that other stuff. So they got pelters for that.
Right.
They then came out with, there was a story written by Matt Hughes in the Times earlier this week, saying that since the Wayne Rooney announcement, they've sold an extra 20,000 tickets. Now, of course, they may have sold those tickets anyway. You don't know what people... You know, I don't know what the profile of when they sell tickets looks like generally, and really... aside from the era Jim's talking about there, England games are pretty well attended, right, compared to other nations around Europe particularly. So they're arguing that it's been great. It's been really well received, and that people want to do it and go and watch it because all these tickets have been sold. But what do you think about it sort of generally, Marcus?
I would veer towards your side, Luke, I have to say, and I think what you were saying as well, Jim, that... this kind of sort of charitable cap, you know, where does it end? I mean, he is the highest goal scorer, of course, in the history of in the England national team, which is an incredible achievement. It really is. And I know, like, Germany did it with Lukas Podolski, but
I think that's stupid as well.
Well, no, I do as well. I think at least they
win stuff, though, isn't it?
Not recently.
You're only as good as your last tournament. Yeah.
And neither of us won.
Well, Miroslav Klose is not going to get a testimonial for his club sides because he never scores for them.
Yeah, well, I think that it sets a bit of a precedent, doesn't it? So where do you stop with this? So if another player goes on, I think that it's a shame that if the UEFA Nations League match against Croatia was tonight and the friendly was on the Sunday, then I think that would be... It wouldn't be as bad, but I think this is essentially a warm-up game for the Croatia match. Now, Southgate has said, or certainly hinted, that it could even be two different sides.
Yeah,
I think that this game against the US seems to be not really even a warm-up match. I think Southgate knows his side, you know, after the game against Spain and so on, he's a little bit more aware. But they're quite close together,
this,
you know, Thursday night.
Younger players, maybe.
Thursday night and early sort of Sunday afternoon. But I think Luke is right. You know, you can have him, you know, in front of the crowd and all the rest of it. And you could even do, although this is a little bit over the top, but it is Argentina and Maradona. You know, they had Argentina versus the rest of the world 11.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You know, and you could do something like that. You could even have it, you know, Old Trafford for
absolutely. For I think to drill down some of the points you made there, particularly the ones in the latter stages of that, it opens up a wider argument about the legitimacy of a type of game like you're talking about, England v USA. If you go into the realms of having an England versus the rest of the world 11 with Wayne Rooney as the captain of the England team, obviously no one's going to complain about that. But it's not an official game.
It's not an
people
official
aren't game. Getting capped for that. Yeah. So if friendlies in their worst iteration are going to be played in the way that the England USA game tonight appears like it's going to be played, I think it's legitimate to ask whether that should be an official international and whether people should be capped for that.
It reduces the intensity of any performance. Certainly, I wouldn't get on a flight for that length of time just to play in a sideshow, you know what I mean? Like, the US aren't in great shakes at the moment. They need competitive football. They don't need, like, a friendly that means literally nothing.
It's effectively an exercise in live nostalgia.
Yes.
Which is...
Yeah. Why isn't Joe Cole doing it?
Exactly.
He's just retired from football.
Right. So, that's why he's probably doing it. Any chance of finding
him? Genuinely, like, sort of going
got 50
to,
old caps ring.
Well, why is Rio Ferdinand? Why do these players not get their last hurrahs? I mean, why do we sing like Wayne Rooney? Because he's scored a few goals in the most underwhelming period of English
football. To be fair, he is the top scorer in England.
Still.
Someone will take over that at some point.
Hopefully.
Maybe Harry Kane could have got closer to it. If he'd had the cap.
Yeah, I wonder whether there needs to be a frank assessment of it and think, is it legitimate to give caps for friendly games?
True.
Should
especially with the Nations League now.
Exactly. So there's more international football, there's more competitive games. If you think of some of the players who amassed 100 caps for England back in the day, Billy Wright, Bobby Charlton, those type of players, I haven't got the figures in front of me, but I don't imagine a huge percentage of those would have been friendly games.
No.
A lot of them would have been competitive.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So, you know, you wonder whether it's actually right to be given friendly caps, essentially.
Like, when Rooney didn't put English football on the map, we're not talking about, like, Jorge Campos or something like that. Like, someone who was charismatic and exciting someone who sort of, like, was polarising, but also kind of, like, gave them a bit of charisma.
He's not Diego Maradona.
He's not Diego Maradona. He's not a person who sort of, you look back to these kind of, like...
Why was Campos the first player you thought of?
I love that.
He mentioned him on Monday, didn't he?
Did he really?
No, I didn't, no. But the colours and the kind of excitement. And when I think about Mexico in 94, I think of
shapes
Campos.
And colours.
I think of shapes and colours. Yeah. I've been very rude today, Jim.
I like it.
Like, he didn't do that. Like, we're already a footballing force.
He scored over 50 goals for England. That's why.
Who gives a flying shit? Well, I think... Did Alan Shearer get one? I know he wasn't.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
This is what it's all about.
Did Alan Shearer get one?
Well, you've used the Campos smokescreen, which is very clever because of all the shapes and all the colours.
One thing I will say.
The colourful Campos Trojan horse. It's opens
Campos,
up.
Campos flash.
Alan Shearer pokes his head out the belly and goes, "Who here then?" Donaldson.
Campos
pathetic.
Flash.
Campos
get
flash.
Get us another cap.
Yeah. Where's me testimonial later?
Where's me cap?
I know I retired early, probably 8 years early to preserve my club career, but it doesn't matter.
Oh dear.
But if you do like old Wazza, they get one final goal until the next appearance at least. then he's evens to do so with Bet365 against the USA. £10 returns £20, including stake. Should he do it? Do you know what? Having said all what I've said, I don't agree with it.
It'd be lovely to see him score.
I hope he gets a goal. Why not?
And if Jorge Campos keeps a clean sheet, what's the odds for that?
What I hope happens is Rooney puts in a blisteringly good performance. Yeah. The whole thing is weaved around him and we're all going... Are you available for Croatia?
Yeah.
That's right. But to be fair to the FA, that if you go to go in, you've got to go in fully. He's got the number 10 shirt and he's going to get the captain's armour when he comes on. That's what I think. They're saying, all right, you've gone that far.
Go
why
home
not?
Or go home.
Wayne Rooney this has is someone to... brand for you. You love this.
No, I come on.
Wayne Rooney has to raise like £8 million for Scudamore. That's how it works.
Yeah.
He's got to give the money to the
Maybe
Premier
that's
League.
What this is.
At the risk of opening this up as a can of worms again, and I don't mean to do so, but one final point I really do feel should be made. If you're going to honour players and we're going to treat the game in this way, why not give Glenn Murray a cap? He's playing at the top of it. You're smiling at me, but he's playing at the top of his game. Best form of his life. He's scoring goals in the Premier League. How much would one England cap in a friendly mean to Glenn Murray compared to one to Wayne Rooney?
Yeah, but
it's very different.
It is very different.
Yeah, it is different, but it's better.
You think?
Yeah.
No, I don't think that is better. I think you're rewarding him for not being quite good enough.
No. It would be so much better if it was one cap based around the Glenn Murray Foundation. And as much of a furore was made over Glenn Murray as if his career had been like Wayne Rooney's. And even Glenn Murray was like, what the hell is going on?
What about
I would
this
way
then?
Prefer that.
So I know they've got a slightly bigger squad for this game to accommodate different players, including Wayne Rooney. What about this then? If Glenn Murray's a poor example, how about this? Callum Wilson just been called up.
Yep. Mm.
What happens if they were to choose Wayne Rooney over Callum Wilson?
It's a fair point, and it could happen. I mean,
you never
really
know that, though, are you? Who there is chosen over whoever?
Well, according to some media outlets, Callum Wilson and Lewis Dunk will make their England debuts against the US, and Alex McCarthy could come on at half time too for his debut. But you are right, Luke. Someone like Wilson, who said he hasn't played at Wembley before,
he's been to Wembley once. You know why?
Because he was in the stands.
Yeah,
he went to watch Coventry in the Checker Trade Trophy final. Right, but he's never stood on the pitch.
He's never stood on the pitch.
Wayne Rooney stood on the pitch at Wembley
a fair few times.
Yeah. Did a lot of standing around for one bit, I remember.
I know, mate. But Callum Wilson, 6 years ago, was playing non-league.
Tamworth.
You see.
Tamworth.
It would be nice to see him.
In many ways, that's one of the popular tropes of our time, isn't it?
Yeah.
41 years ago, this player was not born.
Yeah.
Then they played non-league for a bit, and now they're playing.
He was running around in a nappy.
41 years.
How old's Callum Wilson? 25.
26.
Yeah, I was just making a point.
He's not over 40.
Ignore me.
That's something. Fabian Delph told the press that young Jadon Sancho has impressed the squad in training. Surely Sancho will feature at some point in the international break. Whether that's as a supporting act for Wayne Rooney or playing a crucial role against Croatia, we shall see. But he made his debut, of course, against Croatia last month. He's been fine form for Dortmund of late. Genuinely a really exciting player. I know England have had a number of players who we thought were quite exciting. And of course, they went on to have very respectable careers, for crying out loud. Let's not be silly. But they never became, I'm thinking like the likes of Aaron Lennon, maybe Sean Wright Phillips, you know, those kind of quick wingers, those sort of types of players. Even Joe Cole, somebody like that, who played, you know, had some moments for England. But Sancho, people are looking at him thinking, this guy could have real longevity.
Absolutely. Well, him and Reece Nelson, who's got, I think it's 6 goals in 7 games for Hoffenheim, and they've known each other since they were in an under-11s team.
Yeah, that's great. But of course, Reece Nelson is not in the England squad.
No. But I think he's perhaps unlucky to miss out, because they're a similar age. He's making a similar splash.
Because Wayne fucking Rooney's in there.
Yeah.
I think any striker playing at the top level is probably unlucky to miss out when Wayne Rooney's in there.
But the point I'm making is that's doubly exciting, isn't it?
Yes,
it's fantastic. Yes. And you know, if you saw the game between Dortmund and Bayern Munich, the Klassiker, translated to the derby.
You laughed at my campos.
Yeah. Well, I'm never going to stop laughing at you, Pete. All hope truly is lost if I stop laughing at you. In the second half particularly, he was amazing. And it's important, Marcus, I think, to completely endorse what you're saying, which is that this is not just another overhyped English player. This is a player who is playing at the very top level for a team who've got serious aspirations to win the Bundesliga this season. And he is one of their key players.
Absolutely. Yeah, and also what with a lot of players like him, it takes them a few years to nail down a position. Sancho looks like he knows his position completely inside out already. Like, just he's very natural in where he is.
So. Absolutely, yeah. Of course, Danny Welbeck and Kieran Trippier have dropped out of the squad at injury.
That's the bad news. Gary Neville's coming into replacing Trippier, so that's the good news.
Yeah, well, Gareth Southgate said the players put a photo of Danny Welbeck next to the TV they were watching the other night in support of him as he's out with a bad injury. And he said it showed again that the players are together and have a good bond.
And have access to a printer.
Is Kieran Trippier annoyed? There was no mention of a photo of him.
Maybe there's a picture of him in the bathroom or something. But because of the picture we've got in our studio, I'm picturing that picture of Danny Welbeck being him on a bike eating an apple.
Like Shola.
We keen viewers of our video version of this show that cameraman Sam puts together will probably have seen in the background on more than one occasion let's call it a large photo of Shola, the legendary photo of Shola eating an apple riding the bike.
It's a bit of a classic.
Haters gonna hate.
Sadly they will. But yes,
it's good for. I mean, look, everyone was sad to see what happened with Danny Welbeck, and he's obviously a very, very popular member of the England squad and a player who has done okay for England.
Yeah,
really.
I think he's done pretty well.
Yeah, and so was Gareth Southgate holding it up as saying, look, this is how good the team spirit is in this camp and all this kind of stuff?
Yes, and he talked about when he has, I don't think he would use the word reunion, but whenever he sees other players in the Euro 96 squad, or from the Euro 96 squad. He said that bond is there. He said these players are creating their own memories and their own friendships that will last, and talked about that, that sort of extra special bond he still has with those players because they played an international tournament to get there.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important. And he is creative. We've said this before. He said the players now enjoy turning up to see England. It's like a competitive holiday campaign.
Competitive, it ain't as well.
Well, sometimes there is competition there, but let's leave that there.
And, you know, one of the things that's talked about in terms of someone like Danny Welbeck is injuries for players, you know, that can harm them in such a difficult way psychologically when it's a long-term injury, because all of a sudden, I can't remember who said it. I saw someone say it and say, you know, where they played, you walked out of where you got ready to play and dressed and changed. Someone called it the changing room.
The dressing room as well.
Yeah, and they would
it's a changing room.
And all the fit players would turn left to go to the training ground. And if you were the only unfit player with a long-term injury, you'll turn right on your own into the swimming pool or the gym, and that's you for the rest of the day. And it can be so isolating, really. Yeah. It's really important for players to feel like they're still part of the group. And I think that's something that modern football's done a lot better than sort of older football. Yeah. If you read the story about Adrian Doherty, the kid who came through at Man United, Oliver Kay at the Times wrote a brilliant book about it called Forever Young.
And he used to just wear like rubbishy clothes and stuff, and he just didn't give a shit. He was a non-footballer.
And he was rated alongside Giggs at the same time in the same age group. But the point I was going to make was just that he got a really bad knee injury. Mm. And for all the right praise that Man United get for that period, they badly dealt with him. He felt like persona non grata. He wasn't looked after, wasn't taken care of, didn't even get the right treatment. Because essentially, he became a completely disposable asset. Yeah. Like, well, he's out for 18 months. Well, there's no point worrying about him. You know, and you can't do that with young people's minds. Yeah. And so that's why even when you're an experienced player like Welbeck, it's really important to keep him included.
Yeah, and Callum Wilson said, didn't he, that of course we say he was 6 years
he had a serious one as well.
He had some very serious injuries. And he said Alan Shearer texted him. And he said he found that really
annoying.
Yeah. And I think that if you've texted an injured player, specifically Callum Wilson, you should be considered.
This happens quite a lot. Do footballers
do you want to
just
turn Siri off, Pete, on your phone?
Do footballers all have... I don't know how to.
We're intertwined.
Do a lot of...
Sorry, phone. Do you want to turn Pete off?
Am I...
Siri, are you and Pete dating?
Do footballers...
Put the rumours to bed forever.
It's not a bed, it's a...
Come on, Peter, come on!
It's a memory bank.
Peter. We've got to do emails in a minute, hurry up.
You would
say. Let's do emails.
I think it's probably for the best. Sorry. It's now time for emails with PDD.
Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast! Ah!
You've got mail.
Paul. Holla football.
And that's the end of the email section.
Holla football ramble. As a long time listener to the show and an Englishman living in Buenos Aires, I always enjoy it when you discuss some of the crazy football happenings in this part of the world. As you can imagine, it's been an enjoyable week with everybody's attention fully on the Super Clásico and tensions running rather high. My girlfriend's family are all crazy Boca fans who took me to a Super Clásico 4 years ago in La Bombonera. By far the craziest atmosphere I've ever witnessed. As a thank you, I've adopted Boca as my second team and always want to see them do well. However, with the club not being in my blood, I have to admit I don't have that same passion or feeling as the locals and don't live and die by their results. I reserve that for my beloved Barnsley FC. Watch out, Pompey and Luke Mill, we're coming for you, he says.
Not scared.
However, when Boca scored their first goal, I got a bit overexcited, let out a cheer and ran to my balcony to listen to the other people screaming from their apartments. Wonderful image.
That's great.
And shouted a few words of support in my heavily English-accented Spanish. It's safe to say that my River supporting neighbour took slight offence to this. As seconds later, when River got back into the game, well, I've attached a video. Basically, this video is of... I'm not sure how well versed in Argentine Spanish you guys are, but I will translate. I won't be reading out the translation. Okay. Let's make that very clear. But the video is just of a door to the outside of this lad's apartment, of Paul's apartment. And this is what you can hear.
This is terrifying.
Yeah.
Say that. Does he? He might say the word prick there.
Yeah. No. Right, it says suck my dick, suck my dick.
Yeah,
something
so
I can't.
He is. Yeah. So he's using the word.
Suck my dick, suck my dick. Do something to your mother, suck my dick.
Yeah, I think he's saying pica, which is a very rude, like it's like prick in
Spanish. Pica.
No, pica.
All right.
Yeah. Make sure you get that right. Right, it's okay. Very, very important.
I wasn't sure whether to laugh or call an ambulance for his impending heart attack. Gotta love that South American passion. I think I go to a pub for the second leg.
I mean, the game's still going on.
It's only 2-0. It's first leg. Like, you still got a second leg.
Yeah, it's like Martin Atkinson. What are you doing?
go, suck my dick, suck my dick.
Stop it.
Suck my dick.
You said you started off that email, so I'm not going to read out the translation. Wait. Now you've read it out three times.
He might be talking to Siri.
John says, after hearing your WhatsApp chat about Big Colin Hendry, I feel I must confirm that he's still an absolute tank. Last season, I played for a local lads team in South Wales against a team of celebrities, and he's put comments around that, and the odd ex-footballer. Never get an invite. No. Lining up in central defence was Colin Hendry himself. At half-time, I got sent on up front to try and beat him for pace, being a reasonably nippy winger. For some reason, my midfielders decided to pump the ball high and long for the whole half, resulting in Big Colin utterly destroying me in the air for 40 minutes. I ended up on the floor after almost every aerial battle. Mm-hmm. When a ball finally made its way past him on the ground, I was clean through until a crunching tackle from behind.
Love it!
Me. Through a face of freshly cut grass, I could just glimpse the majestic figure of Hendry, directing the attack a la Johan Cruyff while walking away with the ball. He ran the show from centre-back, absolute gent after the game, making sure to give everybody a firm bruiser a handshake.
Another Colin Hendry story. Scotland,
lovely.
Are you hearing this?
Yeah. Take your boots.
Rob Lindley from Birmingham. In light of the recent chat about players' names at clubs, it reminded me of the run of managers' names that West Brom had from 75 to 87. The first names of their managers were Johnny, Ronnie, John, Ron, Ronnie, Ron, Johnny, Nobby, Ron.
That's lovely. That is lovely.
That is so good.
So Pete, someone else got in touch. I don't know if it was an email, but someone definitely tweeted that, and I haven't checked, that Martin O'Neill and Michael O'Neill,
yeah,
they're Ireland and Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland manager,
Ian
respectively.
Tussie, yeah.
Yeah, have you got it there?
I've got it.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise.
Ian Tussie, Republic of Ireland manager, Martin O'Neill's middle name is Michael. Northern Ireland manager, Michael O'Neill's middle name is Martin.
That's good.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that wonderful?
Fantastic.
Isn't that fantastic? Finally, for now, Joe says, good morning, gentlemen. Darren Bent once forged a semi-successful strike partnership with Marcus Bent for Ipswich.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that.
Our training ground is Bent Lane.
Oh, okay.
And a clinical Marcus in there as well.
I think Crystal Palace's training ground is on Copers Cope Road, which is a weird name.
This is a slightly different thing, but I believe that Gary Newman is something like 13 days older than Gary Oldman.
I've heard that as well.
That is slightly different, yes.
Marcus, before we go to the break, I forgot to mention earlier that England are obviously playing Croatia on Sunday night?
Sunday afternoon.
They're 5-6 to beat them with Bet365. £10 will return £18.33, including stake. Should Gareth's gang best Dalic's destroyers?
This is the point I was trying to bring up before you rudely cut me down.
Wanker.
Why do footballers always say
sorry, it was me that cut you off.
All right, sorry.
Siri. Oh, go on.
All right, Brett. Let's go and add Brett. Fuck all yours.
The greatest thing about this is that
we've still got another minute or two.
We got that one ready.
I think people are forgetting that the England do have a UEFA now.
So cutting.
Wish I could talk over it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ball's coming in the box now. What a save. Spironi.
Welcome back, everybody.
That's what's coming for you, big boy.
Yeah.
What, that bloke?
Donny.
Oh, I see. I'll be okay.
Take your chances.
I can do it through a wall.
Yeah. Beg your pardon. right, ladies and gentlemen. We finished talking about England. Let's talk about some other teams. There's a friendly tonight versus Ireland versus Northern Ireland. Both of these sides need a confidence booster and some goals. In among all the sort of British political situation, I did think to myself, is this anything to do with the Brexit deal? With the border situation?
Maybe. They'll get it sorted out on the pitch.
Exactly, yes. Ireland could be relegated from Group B4. The big news for Northern Ireland, of course, is that Carl Lafferty's back.
Yeah. Well, they need him. They need
if
him
you
badly.
Need goals, you need laughers.
Now, they haven't scored an away goal for ages.
Yes.
That's the stat here.
And this is an away fixture for Northern
Ireland. It's a Jim Campbell stat. I hope it doesn't go back to haunt me. Yeah. And this is perfect for them, right?
And they've not won on a Thursday night for how long, Jim?
since his last Thursday.
Since they beat QPR.
Yeah. And, of course, it's a short trip. It's technically an away game, but it's a short trip for them.
Indeed.
They won't feel too out of place, I don't think,
mm-hmm.
If I can navigate those difficult political waters. But ultimately, culturally, it's going to feel okay for them. So this is a chance for them to get going because, lest we forget, Republic of Ireland are dreadful.
I was going to say.
Absolutely dreadful. Yeah. And it feels like the death rattle of Martin Michael O'Neill's tenure. Yeah. Can Michael Martin O'Neill take advantage of it?
Yeah, indeed, yeah. I actually think that Northern Ireland could do the business. I think they've been very unlucky. And Michael O'Neill was lamenting his side's, I suppose, bad luck or lack of ruthlessness in front of goal. Because they have been playing. Well, we said this before, it's Bosnia against Austria as well. Sides that you would think on paper definitely better than Northern Ireland.
Mm.
And they've been a little bit unlucky. So this is a big chance for them to just... You know what it's like when you haven't scored for a while or you're not scoring many goals? Get a goal, and especially in a game like that. A little bit of a derby atmosphere for obvious reasons.
Well, they went for that phase, didn't they, of being far greater than the sum of their parts, mm-hmm. and playing really well. Michael O'Neill had hardly any players to choose from, relatively speaking. And it culminated in them doing okay in Euro 2016. Yeah. Right?
And like edging matches like 1-0 to qualify for that.
And what seems to have happened from a layman's perspective, I've not watched them as closely as some would have done, is that they've lost a bit of luck and they've sort of lost that togetherness thing on the pitch to an extent. But having said that, when they played Bosnia at home, they lost 2-1. Will Grigg scored late on in the 92nd minute. They had miles more possession.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had 26 shots to Bosnia's 5. And really, sometimes you feel like, okay, maybe there's a lack of quality in their finishing or their ruthlessness or they haven't got a world-class finish or etc.
Well, Lafferty's back, mate.
Laffer started the game, mate. He was dragged.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And then his replacement scored. So it's not the most ringing testament to him. They need to get up and running as quick as they can. In a weird way, I'm not as fearful for them as I am for Republic of Ireland.
No, I agree with you.
Republic of Ireland, to me, feel like they're coming to the end of a cycle now.
Mm. Yeah.
They need to lance that boil, I think, with their managerial situation.
He's called Roy. Use his proper name.
Let's have a prediction, Jim.
For this game, yeah, I think it's going to be snuck 1-0 by Northern Ireland.
A snucky 1-0.
Snuck. It'll be snuck. It's a big round of fixtures coming up because we're going to see the first international relegations.
Mm. We are.
It's going to be weird.
We are indeed, Jim. I mean, it is an interesting one. I mean,
do they get parachute payments?
Not from Richard Scudamore. No. You have to give him the parachute payment.
He's not involved in that. He's a Premier League chairman.
Yeah, yeah. But he...
chief executive.
No, of course.
Stop picking on the little guys.
All right, but if you do want to, if you do want to make a contribution, then send your details to show at the football. Keep him...
Send your money to Pete. I mean, it's the shittest idea anyone's ever said.
I will spend it on nonsense.
Yeah.
Well, of course, in Ireland's group, Wales play Denmark on Friday night, tomorrow night in the Nations League. Victory for either side would see them clinch top spot in Group B4. Denmark still need to play Ireland. Now, Denmark beat Wales 2-0 last time, but they play at the Cardiff City Stadium, which is already sold out, 33,000. Much better than what we were talking about before at what was formerly known the Millennium Stadium. Can't remember the current name.
The Principality Stadium?
That'll do. Yeah. That'll do.
Close enough, isn't it?
But Wales missing Neil Taylor and Ben Davies, which is a bit of a shame for them. But the Welsh, that you see, this is what we're getting to the business end of. Well, not quite the business end, because you've still got the knockout stuff. But the thought of like promotion, relegation, Wales could get promoted.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
Did they take on Denmark just after Denmark got all their players back?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and then Christian Eriksen just pulled their pants down, scored 2, and they lost 2-0.
Yeah.
And the game before that, literally you were playing against like plumbers and candlestick.
Slovakia or Slovenia?
Yeah.
I know.
No, I mean the Denmark squad just before that was a load of players.
I know, but that the game was, I think...
Oh, it was against them, okay. Yeah.
James Lawrence is in the Wales squad. It's quite an interesting
this
situation.
This is a really interesting story.
It is. He currently plays for Anderlecht in Belgium, of course, having signed this year from a Slovakian club. Now, he's 26, born in England, moved to the Netherlands when he was young, but qualifies for Wales through his grandmother. And he came known to the Welsh setup because he moved to Anderlecht, of course, you know, a
pretty big club, playing in the Slovakian league, he didn't really get noticed. So 26 years old, and their scouts are looking around to see who's eligible, and this guy comes on the radar, and that's how he's in the side. He doesn't know too many of his teammates. He doesn't really follow English football that much. So again, he's unaware. I'm sure he knows who Gareth Bale is, but
yeah.
It's an interesting one. He's been learning the Welsh national anthem as well.
He also won the league twice in Slovakia when he was there.
Yeah, pedigree.
The side then went on to go out in the qualifying rounds of the Champions League, when they're knocked out by Steaua Bucharest and Legia Warsaw respectively. And I think the second time that happened, because they were knocked out in the third qualifying round, they would have gone through to the Europa League final qualifying round, which they lost to Rapid Vienna. My point being that he's played some European football as well. Yeah. So this is not a guy who's, you know, I've not seen him play, to be perfectly honest, but he's not, obviously not a guy who's worthless. Like, not, he's there for a reason. And we talk about it in the context of Northern Ireland sometimes. It's the same with Wales. I mean, you know, and also, actually, do you know what? To an extent, it's the same with England. I mean, I remember talking with someone before the World Cup a few months before and looking at legitimately how many players Gareth Southgate has to choose from who are going to make a difference. It's not that many, you know.
No.
It's probably 50. Maybe not even that many. Mm, yeah. So if you take that from Northern Ireland, they've got far fewer than that. Wales probably be the same. And I think given they've got players like Gareth Bale and Aaron Ramsey, that maybe papers over the cracks a little bit their depth. So they can't afford to see a good player who's played European football and not have a look at him at least.
Yeah, absolutely right.
But if you fancy both teams to score in this one, by the way, it's 11-10 with Bet365. £10 will return £21, including stake.
It's possible. It's much more possible to get goals in that one than Albania-Scotland, Jim.
Is it not? Big Stephen Fletcher's back?
Yeah, I have a bit of respect for Fletch.
Right, okay.
Fletch lives.
Yeah, is that like a Wayne Rooney style cap?
No, I think it's,
it's more an free man.
Very, it's more a James Lawrence style cap in its own way.
And famous scorer of 53 Scottish goals, Stephen Fletcher.
Yeah, he's only 31. People are talking like it's, you know, they're bringing like this 35-year-old cart horse out of retirement, but they're not.
Sometimes, yeah. Jim, it's not the age of the car, it's the miles on the clock.
Yeah. Is Kenny Miller still available? That's all I'm saying. I was surprised he was only 31, to be honest with you. So I share your...
In a pleasing mirroring of football, he's also got 31 caps.
Yeah, nice. That's right, yeah.
One for every year of his life.
That's how I remembered it. But he's been recalled after 13 months in the international wilderness, as they say. But yes, if Scotland can win, then they'll be on for top spot in Group C1. They play Israel on Tuesday.
This is why, despite what Jurgen Klopp says, and I don't mean to disagree with Jurgen Klopp on principle, because, of course, I understand he's trying to protect his players. I mean, he called the UEFA Nations League the most pointless competition ever invented or something, because he doesn't want to see his players get injured and all the rest of it.
We've got our own interests.
But yeah, exactly. But in this kind of case, it justifies absolutely the reason why this tournament exists. You've got, as we said time and time again, you've got teams, minnows, playing against other minnows, winning games, getting confidence, learning from wins rather than just 5-6-0 defeats all the time. And you've got a team like Scotland, who, to be frank, have been very, very bad in terms of qualifying for international tournaments, to the point, I say very bad, they haven't actually qualified. So it doesn't get much worse than that for them. Yet they get a chance to actually get a bit of success, move up a group, a league perhaps, play against better teams, learn from that. So to me, it completely justifies the situation.
Absolutely. And I think once the knockout comes around, it's genuinely going to be really exciting. It's going to be great. Because we all sort of like sneer at the Confederations Cup. And then when it happens, you're like, you know what? Actually, this is great. This is fun.
Yeah. I think we sneer at it because I can't imagine England ever being in it.
Yeah, that's probably
Unless they host the fucking thing.
That's true. Oh, yeah. No, that's
Scotland are 7-5 to beat Albania. So £10 with Bet365 returns £24, including stake. Should they go there and pick up a win?
They could do. They could do. Staying roughly in that part of the world, because it's being played in Albania. Let's talk a little bit about Serbia versus Montenegro, because it's always a good one. And basically, Serbia, they're top of Group C, 4, ahead of Montenegro and Romania. You'd fancy them to be promoted. And the last time round, Peter, Mitro got a brace.
He did, yes.
Mitro's on fire.
He very much enjoys playing for his national side.
He's got a new club manager as well.
He's going to be playing under Claudio Ranieri.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think a lot of Fulham fans are gutted for their ex-manager, but, you know, turn around.
It's one of those ones, isn't it, where you've got to appreciate what he's done.
Well, it was a bit like Ranieri at Leicester in the sense that, you know, he won them the league and so on, but the way it was going, they felt they needed to change. Jukanovic, I think it's rightly said, you know, the football Fulham played last season was fantastic. And they footballed their way out of the championship, which not many teams do. And it's just, it's not working.
Cardiff?
bruise their way out of the championship. Yeah. It's just not happening. And it's 12 games now. It's not like they've sacked him after five or six games.
No.
It's 12 games, yeah. and it's looking quite bleak. I know they had a better performance away at Liverpool, and it's very, very tough. And in a sense, it's a shame that he didn't have an easier fixture. But then, you know, 3-0 at home against Bournemouth.
But they were getting batterings, weren't they?
Exactly.
And it showed that what had got them there wasn't working. So
he's always going to go at the international break because it gives them time and that kind of stuff. But I spoke to Andy Brassel from our sister show on The Constant, obviously out every Saturday and Wednesday, because we've seen a lot in the British press about Ranieri's time at Leicester.
Mm.
Understandably, but we know all about that. But of course, Claudio Ranieri managed at Nantes.
Greece. Oh, sorry.
No, not Greece. We're not going all the way back to Greece. He's expunged those demons.
He
did manage at Nantes, though, and Andy said he started brilliantly there. And importantly for Fulham fans, he sorted out their leaky defence.
Yes.
Before leaving shortly after after bunking off the club's anniversary dinner to fix a leak in his London flat. So there you go, a mixed bag. A story of fixing leaks.
Yeah, not a leaky defence, but a leaky flat.
Yeah.
No, he's bloody. He's adorable, though, isn't it? He said, "I hope to make a very good job here."
Nice.
I'm delighted.
Make a very good job.
Yeah, yeah, and he also says we play Southampton, and they are a good team with spirit. It's important to be prepared. And I just thought, you've been away a while.
They are not a good team with spirit.
Well, did you hear that? Apparently, Big Vang turned down the job.
I did. Apparently, he's waiting for the Bayern Munich job.
Yeah,
is the word on the street / all of the newspapers available to everyone.
Waiting for Godot. Do you know who Claudio Ranieri's first signing at Chelsea was?
Mutu.
No,
Slavisa Jokanović.
Oh, that's it. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I thought one of you know that. It was all over the internet.
I should have known that.
I feel bad about telling it.
I should have known that. But yeah, it'd be nice to see Mitrovic get a couple of goals under his belt.
Well, he was signed by the previous manager on Snapchat, wasn't he? He's going to be gutted.
Exactly, yeah.
He'd be crying out for Rafa again soon. Claudio makes him do all those shuttles.
Tadic off penalties.
Yeah.
We can agree. Remember that one?
Yeah.
High and wide. Yeah. But yeah, I want Mitrovic to score, come back to the Premier League and unleashed on that Southampton defence.
Well, he'll get injured. I'll get behind that.
I was going to say.
He'll come back injured.
He doesn't get injured. all right, Luke, what's our best bet with Bet365?
Yeah, so we've got a new guy on the hot seat, Pete Carter. Come on down, Pete. He says, I'll spare you all the rubbish on my background and why you should pick this.
He's the unstoppable Pete machine.
Yeah, quite simply, some of the previous bets of the week have been dire and you're due a win. Let's play it safe but throw in a bit of risk in the Nations League on Saturday. Ooh. I'm going for Serbia, Azerbaijan and Romania all to win at 1.94-1. All the best, Pete Carter. So Serbia are playing Montenegro at home, as we just heard. Azerbaijan are at home to the Faroe Islands, who have picked up one or two results.
That's not a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, and Romania are hosting Lithuania. Seems like a pretty solid treble, and we've not had a multiple for a long time, so I thought it'd be fun to give Pete the chance to mix it up.
Nice.
£50 on this returns £147, including stake, with Bet365, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. Good luck, Peter. We'll be looking out for you. Before we go to Going for Glow, can I just very, very quickly issue a public service announcement for all passionate, dedicated listeners to the Football Ramble, new and old alike. Testicle Matt has popped up on Twitter.
He has.
A Ramble legend. Someone needs to show him how to change his username to Testicle Matt, because I don't imagine that's taken, because at the moment he's at Matthew23112578, which I suppose it could mean he's a 2.3 millionth Matthew on Twitter, which is quite frightening. But he emerged in 2010 with a testicle injury in Mexico City. And he's back on Twitter, so give him a follow. I mean, to be fair to Testicle Matt, he's a Ramble legend. On Twitter, he's quite boring. But if you follow him and get involved, maybe he'll sharpen up a bit. By his own admission, he's terrible on Twitter, doesn't know what he's doing.
Okay.
I've noticed that other podcasts have been mentioning the fact that they're nominated for the SFF Awards. FSF Awards. The Football Supporters Federation. Or the Supporters Football Federation, as I like to call it. And we've not really mentioned that we're nominated, and it's a public vote, so we don't want to get absolutely crucified. That would be embarrassing because myself and Jim are going down. So if you want to vote, it's fsf.org.uk. That's fsf.org.uk.
Vote for your old pals.
Do
the
vote
Ramble
for us.
Vote for your old pals. We never do this.
We never win.
Because we do it for the honour, not the glory.
Yeah. Because we never do this bit. Yeah. We never actually
help us
covet
win
votes.
A popularity contest.
So if you want us to, if you want another Leicester City kind of title win.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're 5,000-1. Yeah. Give us a chance.
We'd be like Spurs winning the league.
Dilly ding, dilly dong.
There we are. And now it's time for Going for Glold.
It is time for Going for Glold with me.
So. And the time is right. It's time for you. What you to play the game. People are coming. Everyone's trying. Trying to be the best of them.
Lord.
Oh la la.
Well, last week, looking at you, Jim Campbell, I'm looking at you, Marcus Speller, I'm looking at myself, Luke Moore, we were dreadful. Yeah. One of the most famous strikers in the world, still playing today.
He twisted us up.
Got sent off at the weekend as well, in all the headlines, and we missed it. We've got to get better. We can't let Donaldson win.
Yeah, but the headlines were after.
Doesn't matter.
Well, it does.
The point is, he's such a famous player that when he gets sent off, it's massive news.
Yeah.
It's not some obscure left back.
This week, you've got to search for the hero inside yourselves.
Exactly.
And do a little bit better.
Stop. Is it Bonnie Tyler?
Is it M-People, isn't it? That?
M-People, isn't
it? No, but I was thinking here.
Yeah. Oh, the hero inside yourself. Ben Cattle is back with another set of clues.
Yeah. I don't remember him the first time.
Well, he stayed on, didn't he? Stayed on because he won.
Still don't remember him.
Okay.
Fight and talk. We've got to get back at him.
Yeah, you right. Knob, Ben.
Best form of a defensive attack.
Well, he sort of left it really late. And so I was like going, is he going to send in more clues? Has he even listened to the show?
I might have to do some actual work.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So he sent them in at 9 o'clock last night. So, yeah. First clue. I was born on the 5th of July, the same year that Brian Clough took over the second division strugglers, Nottingham Forest.
Right. Okay. I know when that was.
You do, don't you?
Yeah. Ooh. Has it helped you in any way?
1943.
On the 26th of August 2003, I signed for my one and only English club. That relationship came to an end 5 years later on the 3rd of July 2008 when my contract expired and I was released on a free.
I'm so sorry, can you repeat that?
26th of August 2003, I signed for my one and only English club. That ended 5 years later on the 3rd of July 2008 when my contract expired and I was released on a free.
Stop. Is it Adrian Mutu?
Incorrect.
His contract was very much cancelled.
Yeah. Mutually.
Is it Anderson?
Incorrect.
Nice guess.
During my first year in England, I scored a personal best in a Premier League season with 10 goals, a feat I would go on to repeat 2 years later. In all my days in England, I found the net 25 times for my club, and one time, I even got my hands on the Davy Moisey special, the FA Community Shield.
This is, again, quite tough. He twists us up with the clues. Mm. It's probably fucking David Beckham.
It's not David Beckham.
To be fair, if you think about, carry on.
During my time in Serie A, I won a Coppa Italia, 5 Supercoppas, 3 league titles, and my personal highlight was winning a European Cup final 3-0.
Stop.
I got on the score sheet and won the man of the match.
He said stop.
Hernan Crespo?
It is Hernan Crespo.
Yes, James!
Well done, Jim.
Victory for all the
Whatever
ramble.
Your name was.
Ben, you loser.
Silver medal in the 96 Olympics, and I went to 3 World Cups, never getting further than the quarters.
There we go.
Well done, Jim.
Then on the Svenigans.
Let's have the jingle then, to celebrate.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, no. Right. So, the heat is on, and the time is right. It's time for you, what you would have played a game.
Lord. There it is.
Broke the world transfer record fee.
So proud of you, Jim.
He's tried to be clever there, isn't he?
Not that geezer off his perch.
Well, he's gone for a similarly profiled Argentinian striker.
He's got a little bit too
cocky.
Close to the sun. Yeah, yeah.
You know, you've done that. Well. I was thinking when you were thinking that, I was like, I don't think it's John Dal Thomason. And then you came in, and I thought, yes, Jim.
If the quiz was for which players it isn't, you and I would be quite good.
We'd be very good. Yeah. I think we would win.
Yeah.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. It's been a ruddy pleasure. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you. I'm off for a couple of weeks now, so you get a bit of a break. I'll see you in a few weeks.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
I'm going to have to do some work now, aren't I?
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Yeah, me too, I guess.
Thank you, listeners. We'll see you on Monday.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Rooney, Rooney, Rooney.
Wazza.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.